Well, good evening, everyone. I was kind of waiting for the cued music to play, but it didn't come on. So thanks for joining me. This is Rob and Terry. We're on Where To Next here on LiveParanormal.com. So hope you tuning in this evening. We're going to have a good show. It's going to be a location that I'm not familiar with whatsoever, the Stevenson Building. We're talking to Christy Williams about that. So looking forward to it. Hope you guys are too. Just wanted to kind of mention a couple things here. Some of you probably have known that each year I've done a birthday fundraiser to help Lost Limbs Foundation, and this year we're doing the same thing. So please join in, check that out. I'll have it on my page. I'll share it to Where To Next page and some other ones, Ashmore States and all. So what we're doing is for every $5 you donate, you have a chance to win some great location prizes. We've got some super stuff going on. Different locations have donated a stay there at their place or an investigation. Just to kind of give you an idea of where we're going, we've got them set up for Cheney Mansion in Jerseyville, Illinois, 101 in Winchester, Indiana. We've got just losing names of places. Ashmore States in Ashmore, Illinois. We're going to use that one. Rhodes Hotel in Atlanta, Indiana. Mineral Springs in Alton, Illinois, and then I can drive right to it right now, in Radford, Virginia. Just losing the name of the place offhand, but I feel terrible about that now. St. Albans, that's it. St. Albans, a great location. I just talked about it 20 minutes ago, but St. Albans is another location that we're doing. So we have some great locations. Basically, all you have to do is $5, we'll get your name put in the hat. We're going to draw them on Christmas Day. If you donate $25, we'll put it in there 6 times. So for every $25, it's 6 times it goes in the hat. So looking, that's going to be a great fundraiser. Right now, we're about $1,800, and we're hoping to $2,500. Last year, we did $5,100, so I don't think we're going to get to that this year, but I'm hoping we can do $2,500 anyway. So please help us out with that. All the money goes to helping amputee children. If you're not familiar with Lost Limbs Foundation, you should be. It's lostlimbsfoundation.org. You can check it out on the website. They own the Rhodes Hotel, Atlanta, Indiana, so money helps out all the way around, helping these kids, amputee victims, amputee children. So Mike Couch takes care of things at the Rhodes Hotel, and Crystal, his sister, takes care of all the bookings and all the other stuff. She's got probably the toughest job just because she has to deal with everybody all the time. So check it out. Join us and help these amputee children. So we've just got about, you've got about, it's like a week from now, it's Christmas Eve. It's hard to believe. So hopefully everybody's got their Christmas presents bought and they're all ready to go with that. Fortunately, I married a great person that we treat some of these holidays as just another day of the week. And so it's kind of nice. We can kick back and just do what we want to do. And we don't worry about all the running around and running from one place to the next place and things like that. So it's kind of a fun thing. 2 weeks from now will be New Year's Eve, and when our show is supposed to air next, we are not going to be on that night. I've for about the last 15 years, I've helped a mentally challenged group. They have New Year's Eve celebration until about 9 o'clock at night, so Central Time. So it won't be done in time to have the show that night, and I can't back out of this. I've been doing it too long to help them out. So we won't have a show New Year's Eve. Besides that, you guys will be partying and doing things like that anyway, and so you wouldn't want to listen to me talk about someplace anyway. So, but we will be back in after that on the 14th. January 14th will be our next show, just about a month. It's like, oh, you guys get a month off from me. So, but we're going to be talking to Ronnie D. from Old South Pittsburgh Hospital at that time. So we had him on. We were going to have him on once before, and neither one of us could talk, which is probably a good thing at times. And so he's going to be on with us on January 14th. And just to, I was talking to somebody today about venues and things like that. And, if you're some other venue owners listening, or if you do YouTube shows and things like that, we get constant people saying, hey, we're going to make your location famous. We've got a YouTube channel. We're going to put it on there, and all kinds of people are going to watch it, and they're going to want to come out there. Unfortunately, everybody has one of those, and it's just tough to financially make it work. I mean, I could probably give away every night of the week to some YouTube channel someplace that just wants to come out and do stuff, you know, with the followers. They may have a lot of followers, but at the same time, you know, who knows if it's going to pan out. So just kind of do yourselves a favor sometimes, and just, you know, most of these locations are charging whatever it takes just to keep the doors open. I know that's what we do out there. We don't really make any money at Ashmore when we're doing this. We're just trying to keep the doors open and make sure that we can do some things we want to do, like, you know, some donations to Lost Limbs or, you know, some other donations that we've done throughout the years. This year we were hoping to, you know, this is the first year we haven't done one since 2014, but with the, you know, the hospital situation I had and things like that, we're not going to have an open house at Ashmore for Christmas this year. We didn't get a chance to decorate or anything. It just, the weekends weren't working out for me. I couldn't get out there and to do it. You got, you know, the first weekend I was in the hospital of December, and you know, just got out of that, and I couldn't lift anything. Then last weekend I got out Friday afternoon, so just getting out there's no way to run out there and try to get stuff set up and all. So we didn't get a chance to do it this year. But we are going to make a donation anyway to the food pantry at Ashmore, just because we couldn't do like we have been doing. So we're just going to make a financial donation to them. So that's where some of the money comes and goes to when people come out and investigate. Not only that, we're just upgrading things in the building and doing some things like that all the time. So your money does get spent. It helps out with people. And it's not just a matter of we're throwing it in our pocket. I have a real job for that. So, and that gets in the way sometimes, trying to get all that stuff done. But tonight we're going to be we're talking to Christy and about Stevenson Building. If you've been there before, that's great. If you haven't, like I haven't, I'm looking forward to it. I don't do a lot of research when I ask these people to come on, because I want to hear firsthand from them what's going on at the locations and learn more about it. And then, you know, they've intrigued me so far with everything. And so I'll just go out and start paying attention to them and watching them and seeing what they're doing. So this is kind of one that I'm not familiar with. And so I'm looking forward to it. And so with that, I think we've got her. I'm going to bring her in here. And so we're going to talk to Christy here. Let me just see if we got her here. Hey, Christy, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Great. Hey, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on and talking about Stevenson
Thanks
Building.
Thanks for having me on. Yeah.
Oh, no problem.
Thanks for having me on. I'm excited.
So now we're like saturated with snow around here. You guys have some snow over in your area?
Yeah, it's been okay. Today hasn't been bad. It kind of warmed up a little bit because 25 degrees is warm this time of year. So it's okay. Not too bad.
So yeah, I know that. That's what I just, in fact, I had an officer coming to my door. Didn't do anything wrong, but the alarm system was going off at the building next to me. And so he came over because I know him, and he came over and said, hey, what's going on? I'm like, yeah, that does every once in a while. But the sidewalk like was a sheet of ice out there, so I threw some salt out there. It's been like 17 or 18 degrees, and salt just doesn't work at that temperature. But I thought, well, maybe at least to give him some traction. I don't want the police officer falling on his butt outside my door here. And then being on the rescue squad and everything, and I was like, yeah, that won't work so well. So throw some salt down there, hopefully keep them from falling.
Well, hopefully that alarm won't go off anymore.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that. It's pretty loud because it's right outside the windows here, you know, and I thought, I hope they shut that off before we go live, because if not, we're going to hear an alarm system in the background, I suppose. So, but once again, thanks for joining me. And let's kind of get into it, because I know you guys got a lot of history of the place there, and I want to hear more about it. So where is the Stevenson Building?
The Stevenson Building is in Weimar, Nebraska, so that's about an hour south of Lincoln.
Now, so it's just about an hour south of Lincoln in Weimar, Nebraska, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. And let's see, how far is that? Where are you guys at in the state? Because, I haven't even looked it up. I mean, I looked at it a little bit, thought it was kind of a cool building when you sent me the bio on the history, and you kind of perused that real quick and looked at it, but I'm like, this is kind of a cool location. So where actually is it in Nebraska?
It would be like southeast Nebraska. It's actually 10 minutes off the Kansas border, so that's kind of cool.
Okay, so you're not too far from Kansas then, so that's good. So it's you know, no. The people that are in the Midwest area can get there, you know, fairly easy.
Yeah.
So how did you come about? I mean, now, do you own the building yourself, or do you, is it a group, or who owns the building there?
Well, I have my own paranormal team, and so when I decided that I wanted to buy this building, and I offered, well, it was originally just my one partner, Jeremy, I said, well, I'm going to do this, so you can either do it with me or not. And then one of the people who live in Wymore, Brian, he wanted us to have the building so badly that he was like, here, I'll give you a bunch of money. But Brian has been, he's just been awesome to us since the day I met him, and he's very much in the paranormal too. And I was like, well, Jeremy, we need to bring Brian on. So that's basically, he became the third member and the third owner of the building. So if they weren't going to help me, I was going to do it myself. But it was just better to do it as a team. So
he just came along and gave you a bunch of money to help buy the building then, huh?
Yeah. Well, we were originally going to be doing like a documentary in Wymore. And this building, like in the middle of that, this building was kind of offered to me. And I was like, well, I told the owner, I said, you know, I don't want it unless it's haunted. And so he said, he's like, well, you can have access to it. I was like, well, give it to me for a couple months. Like, let me have access to it. And just, I just need to spend some time there. And after the first couple of nights, I was like, Brian, you need to come stay with me and make sure I'm not crazy. And so after Brian stayed a couple times with me there, we were like, yeah, there's so much activity. And we didn't really know the history of the building really at first. But once we decided to buy it and we started digging, we couldn't believe just everything that we found. We're still finding stuff out. It gets crazier and crazier and crazier. So,
yeah. So you've did something that a lot of places don't. I mean, I run into this every once in a while where people have contacted me and said, hey, we want to start doing paranormal investigations at our building, and what do we need to do that? I'm like, well, who says it's haunted? And he's like, well, you know, I just think it is. It's an old building, but they've never investigated it. They're basically just trying to make money off it. So at least you guys spent some time there before you even bought the building just to make sure what you were getting yourself into.
Yeah. Well, we got ourselves into, we weren't really sure after the fact either. No, it was the guy who owned it before us used it for storage. And so when we bought it, it's what, 9,000 square feet, I think. And it was, I think, a little bit bigger than that, but it was ceiling to floor full of garbage. So it was not, that was not fun.
Now, when you got the building, was it empty, or I mean, what made you decide that you wanted that building?
Well, the guy was still using it for storage, and so we gave him a couple of months when we first bought it to get the rest of his stuff out. But the reason, I mean, it's crazy. I can't tell you how many people we've had in there. Who have said it's probably the most active location they've ever been in. And it really kind of, it's nonstop all day sometimes. You know, it's set up so that I can sleep there just because I would go out there because I live 2 hours away. So I would go out there and I would sleep there, you know, and stay 3 or 4 days so I could work on the building just uninterrupted and work on it and get this garbage out and everything we had to do. And there were days where, you know, 5:00, 5:30 in the morning, the building, it's like, you know what, you're done sleeping. And so you hear footsteps up all of the long upstairs. It sounds like people moving furniture because I go up there and nobody's up there. There's a few times that people have broken in. And so when we hear that, you know, we're going upstairs to make sure no one's broken in. And I can't tell you how many times we've gone up there with a gun drawn, you know, thinking there's someone in there that shouldn't be, and there's nobody there. It happens over and over and over again. Even now with the door, we have it pretty secured and locked up, and there's times where I'm like, there's got to be someone up there. You know, we'll go unlock the door and go up there. It's nobody up there. So it's crazy.
Now, you said you live 2 hours away. Do you still live 2 hours from there?
Yeah, I currently live in Omaha, but my house actually went up for sale 2 days ago. because I'm relocating out there, out to Wymore, so that I can focus our time and energy on the building out there. So.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, I live 2 hours away from Ashmore, and you know, for the first about the first 2 or 3 years I owned it, it was like a road trip every weekend just to go work on the place. So it, I know what you're about. I know what that's all about, making those 2 hour trips just to try to get some things done.
That's definitely now, me.
Yeah. Now you give us a little start back from basically when the house was built or the building was built, as far as the history, just the general history of the location when it was all started.
So it started actually Sam Wymore founded the town of Wymore in 1881. And so originally we knew that the building was put there somewhere between 1881 and 1901, but we've now narrowed it down to 1881 and to 1892. So we're kind of getting there. I'm not really sure what his original purpose was for the building, but we know that in 1901 is when he handed it over to George Stevenson, and he did that because he had left. God, I can't remember their name, but he had left some people in charge of his stuff because he wanted to move to Arizona. So he left people in charge of his estate or whatever and moved to Arizona. Well, while he was in Arizona, these people he left in charge of the building basically were trying to rob him. So they went underneath him and tried. I want to say it was like $12,000, which was a lot of money at that time, you know. And he just couldn't. He just couldn't deal with it. It made him physically ill. And he just said, I don't want to deal with it anymore. Handed the building over to George Stevenson. And Sam Wymore actually ended up dying before that court case ended. I guess it was a really big court case. And we are struggling to find any information on it, which is also strange. But he actually won the court case. But he had already passed away before that happened. So he never knew. But anyway, so George Stevenson takes the building over in 1901, and George Stevenson is your financial guy. I mean, he does your taxes, he is your real estate. Basically, if it had anything to do with money at all whatsoever in the town of Wymore, that was the guy you had to go to. Well, he ended up marrying this lady named Nellie Beer, and Nellie Beer came from Chicago, and we are trying to tie her to the mafia because we know it's there. We just want the definitive proof. So she came up to run the railroad in Wymore, which, again, in that time period, a woman working, let alone running a railroad, is very strange. So you have the guy running the money and the guy running the railroad, and we found out that this particular railroad was the only mafia-owned railroad that went all the way from New York City to Las Vegas and ran straight through Wymore. So Wymore was like a central hub. And then, of course, when Prohibition happened, you had Al Capone was there, his associates were there. We found ties to the Dillinger Gang. There was illegal gambling that went on. We actually found poker chips buried in the dirt in the basement floor from the Southland Mafia. That building was used as a brothel. The KKK used it. The Odd Fellows used it. There's tunnels that run underneath the building. There's four entrances. It's the only building in the town that has four entrances. And these tunnels ran all underneath Wymore. So we want to open those up. But we've recently found a tie. So the very first bank robbery ever made by Jesse James happened in Liberty, Missouri. And in broad daylight, he shot and killed George Wymore with some relative of Sam Wymore. So that was kind of, we just found that out. So that's kind of crazy. But it just goes on and on and on and on, just what we've been finding. I can't even, it blows my mind, really.
So when George had the building back like 1901, what did he use it for?
Well, he basically used it as the financial building. So it was the one picture that we found of it just says Stevenson 01. And so when we started looking into who he was and what he did, it was straight money, all money. He didn't, I don't really think he, I believe upstairs went from a brothel to a dance hall in the time period that he owned it. It's now, it's been an apartment for, I don't know, 40 years now, 30 years, that's what it's still kind of set up as up there, but he basically just dealt with all the money. I also, once he had it, he was, you know, there was bootlegging, things going down in the basement of the building. Just a lot of illegal activity, more or less. One thing we've noticed is even though we've been able to track kind of him and his movements and things that he was doing, we cannot seem to find that one photo of this guy. So we started questioning, well, maybe George Stevenson isn't really George Stevenson, but that was an alias because that was also common back in the day. We're still kind of looking into that, just mainly because we would, for somebody who was supposedly so prominent in the community, you would think there'd be a photo. But nothing.
Yeah, that sounds kind of strange, that there's no photos of running around the guy that, like you said, that's been tied financially to the community quite a bit. So that's kind of weird.
Well, in the bank that's still there, it has a photo of the president, like anything, like whoever was president, they have a photo of every single person. Well, Stevenson at one point in time was the president of the bank, and he is the only photo that's missing. So.
I wonder if there's a reason why they made sure that the photos weren't around for him.
Well, we think a lot of it has to, well, one, he was obviously doing a lot of illegal stuff. But I think the main reason, and what we're actually wondering is we think maybe he wasn't George Stevenson at all. Maybe that was a name he picked up. Maybe he was somebody else. We know that there were a lot of ties to Al Capone. I was just talking to one of the residents who lives in Wymore the other day, and he was telling me stories of Al Capone being there, and his father knew Al Capone and had talked to Al Capone and things like that. So I think it may have something to do with that, but I don't. As of yet, we don't know. So.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting that you can tie the whole thing to Al Capone as well. So it, you know, it sounds like maybe Mr. Stevenson was just a figment, you know, out there just to kind of take care of some things and kept his name just under the wire, so to speak, so nobody paid attention to who he was.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of what we think because if you look at Al Capone's brother, I believe I want to say it was Homer, Nebraska, which is not that far from Wymore, but his brother went by an alias and became a sheriff and, like, was a pillar of the community. But underneath all of that, he was actually doing a lot of the same things that Al Capone was doing. Matter of fact, when Al Capone got caught, he went to his brother and was like, hey, do you want all of this? And the guy's like, well, no, you're going to prison for the rest of your life. He's like, why would I want that, basically? But we know also that in those last, you know, I think it was the last month or 2 months that he was a free man. He was actually spent most of his time in Nebraska in the area. He actually went to a Huskers game or a Nebraska game or something like that out here. That was one of the last things he did before he went to prison, which is funny to me, but yeah.
So as it went along then, what did it become, you know, like basically early 1900s and all, it was a brothel, and then I think you mentioned the KKK were involved there and the Oddfellows, and so what did it, as years went on, what did it become after that?
Yeah, so after Prohibition ended and things like that, the KKK started becoming more prominent. They spent a lot of time, They would just use the building, I think, as like, I don't know if it's necessarily a meeting place, but we know for sure that one of the tunnels leads directly to what would have been the Grand Wizard's, I think it's Grand Wizard's house. I forget what he's called, but it led directly to his house, which we know where that house is, and it's since been torn down. The only thing left is the cement pillar where they filled in the tunnel. But So they started using it, and matter of fact, that we did it. We did an episode there, and it's up on Prime now, so you can kind of see. It gives you just a glimpse of the history. But one of the things that I actually have is the actual footage, film footage. So up until, I want to say the late 50s, or early 60s maybe, they would have a parade there every year and celebrate this event that took place. You know, the KKK hung 5 black men in front of the Stevenson building. And so they were actually still celebrating this event for many years after. In the footage, you actually see where they dragged 5 dummies. I actually think they only have 3. They dragged 3 dummies out, and they put the gallows right there, and they hang them, these dummies, and then they're all like this, all these kids and people just talking. It's honestly disturbing to think that people think this is okay, but they take the dummies down and they put them in like an old hearse, and it's a horse-drawn hearse, and they take them down over to the railroad where used to be, and all these kids go running with like buckets full of rocks and start stoning these dummies. And so they're celebrating this event that took place, you know, how many years ago. So I don't know when they stopped celebrating it, but that would have been late 50s, early 60s when that video was made. So
yeah, it was still a pretty sad time back then, meaning they were still doing a lot of that type of stuff. So that's not unusual. I think actually you could probably even track some of that stuff into probably even early 70s, you know, that you can find some things along that line. But they hung 5 black gentlemen out in front of the Stevenson building.
Yep, they were hung directly out front of the building. A lot of people think that there's at least one of those men, one of those spirits that kind of lingers in the building. I can tell you, I haven't put them out there. Nowadays I just don't. I have them, but there's a lot of EVPs that are very derogatory and say a lot of very derogatory terms. I'm like, I don't really want to put that out there. But there are. And sometimes I'm just like, oh my God, but why would somebody say that or do that or, you know? But I guess that was how many years ago. I wasn't around then. But so they, who knows how many more people were, you know, killed in that manner, or even in the tunnels. You know, the tunnels, there have been psychics in there, but they always give us all different numbers somewhere. Some people have given us up into the hundreds of people. You know, I'm like, if I can't prove it, I'm not going to sit here and say, yes, this happened. We are actually at some point going to have try to see if we can't see if there's anything buried in there or anyone buried in there. That would be kind of something we also want to do once we open the tunnels and see if we can't uncover some of this stuff. So,
now, do you have a chance to, is the city going to allow you to use the tunnels or get into the tunnels at some time?
They have sealed off all the tunnels just because they're obviously unsafe at this point. But what we are going to be allowed to do is open them up so that you can see down them, but they'll be blocked off and you can't go in them. We know where 3 of them are, and we're still trying to locate where the 4th one is. We know somebody has an actual map of the tunnels, which will help. But because of all the negativity that has surrounded the town for so long, sometimes getting things from people is difficult. I know that there is one person that actually has a photo of the men that were hung, like the actual hanging of those men. But he's been very kind of reluctant to let us even have a photo of it. he always says he will, but then he's always too busy to meet with us kind of thing. So hopefully one day he'll be like, here you go. I think a lot of the people in town are just afraid of backlash from knowing what their parents and things did, but you know, I'm like, well, you didn't do it, so. And I'm not going to tell on anyone either. Like, if you give me something, that's where it stays between us, so.
Yeah, and Wymore is a fairly small town too, isn't it?
Yeah, it is now. Now it's maybe, I think, I want to say it's less than 1,000 people, or pretty close to it. So it is very small. The whole town is just, the first time I ever went there, I just knew that I belonged there. It's like taking a step back in time. It's awesome. Like, I can't even, I just never get enough of it.
Now, when Capone and things like that were coming there, how big was the town at that point?
I want to say it was probably 6,000 or 7,000. So it was a lot bigger. It may have even been bigger. They initially had the Papoose Pond Hotel, which I'm so sad that it tore down. They have lots of photos of it, but it was a giant hotel. It took up a good portion, you know, of a block on its own, and three stories, and it was like the place to be. It was absolutely amazing. At one point when the town started dying down, they took off the top floor. I don't know how you do that, but they did. And then eventually they took the whole thing down. It's actually the new firehouse is actually where it used to be. So
yeah, it sounds like it was a pretty good sized town, because, you know, I know there was some talk about you know, Capone and all had and wandering around Atlanta, Indiana, where Rose Hotel is, and it kind of made sense because the town was fairly small at the time, and I think sometimes they like to stay away from some of those bigger cities. But yeah, sounds like Wymore was a pretty good sized town back then.
Oh yeah, when you watch the footage of just even in the 50s and 60s, and this reel of footage that I found, they had like a water park, and they had, I mean, there's so many people. This parade, there's so many people. There was one of the presidents was there. I can't remember who it was, but there's always people there. The train, I think specifically was one of the towns that had like a record-breaking number of trains through it in one day. It's also one of the places where the orphan train kids. I don't know if you've ever heard of the orphan train kids, but basically what happened is all these people who lived in the bigger cities, they would have children, and then they couldn't afford the children, so they would just put their children on a train and hope that they ended up somewhere where a family would adopt them. And the very first orphan train, I want to say, had 9 kids on it, and I don't think it was somewhere in Nebraska, more central Nebraska, and all these kids get off in the country, and all 9 kids were adopted within an hour. Some people, they brought them to the church, people came and they got them. Well, especially that kind of got out of control. And so in Wymore alone, there were hundreds of kids that were just dropped off. And so you'd have all these kids getting adopted because there's too many, just kind of roaming. And I met a guy whose grandma was an orphan train kid, 6 years old. 6 years old, just put on a train and sent away. So, but I guess actually that is what caused the adoption system that we have today. So, in retrospect, it was a good thing. It just took a while to be one.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like it was kind of a crazy time back then that they did some things there. So, in the last few years, then, you know, back basically into the 2000s and even 1990s and all, what's the building been used for during that time frame?
So the last, I want to say 30. I think he had it 30 or 40 years. The guy that I bought it from had it for like the last 30 years. I want to say 30 years, but it might be off a little. It would take a couple of years. But he basically uses the building for storage and then just the front of it, because he runs a car dealer. So he still has his little dealership. He just moved it down like 2 blocks. So that's what it was for the last 30 years. Before that, at one point, it was an appliance store. It was a cigar shop. It was a bowling alley. It was a bar. It was the bakery. I'm trying to think. Those are the main ones that I remember, but there's been a couple little things. And, of course, then the upstairs was turned into apartments, so there was 4 apartments up there. That's basically what it was over the last, pretty much since Stevenson owned it, then all of that happened.
It sounds like about the only thing it hasn't been used for is a doctor's office and a funeral parlor.
Well, it's funny that you say funeral parlor, because it's weird that it wasn't ever one. Just because, you know, there were actually quite a few in Wymore, but a lot of them ended up being in houses and things like that. my friend Keith, who lives there, if anybody watches The Dead Files, they did an entire episode on The Dead Files of Keith's house. That was once actually a funeral parlor. So, yeah, Westport is a really crazy place. You can go anywhere. My favorite thing, like the lady who owns the hairdresser shop across the street, I'll go in there and I'll be like, hey, how are you? And she goes, you know, I don't believe in ghosts, but let me tell you what I saw. And she'll tell me how she sees an apparition. She went in one morning and sure enough, she said, this apparition, full body apparition of a female dressed in period clothing, walked out of my building and down two doors and into the next one, which the two next to us have been completely boarded off and there's nobody in there and there hasn't been for 30 years. So, hilarious, yeah.
So, how did you get involved in the paranormal?
Well, it's always been kind of interesting to me, but I met Jeremy, almost 4 years ago now, and Jeremy was my boss for a little while, and he has said to me one day, he was like, well, I overheard he was going to spend the night at the Velisca house, and so I was like, oh, I want to go, and he's like, well, if someone backs out, you can go, and someone backed out, so it ended up being myself and Jeremy and his brother-in-law. And we had, like, the best time. And I'm telling you, Jeremy is obsessed with paranormal. He is beyond, this is beyond any obsession you've ever seen. He has a problem. After that night, we had so much fun. He was like, I've always wanted to start a group called Buried Alive. And I said, let's do it. So then I actually have my degree in film production. So we went to the squirrel cage. And he was like, oh, you should put a little video together. And I was like, okay. And so I accidentally, I guess, made our first episode. I didn't really mean to make it that way, but that's kind of what happened. And he was like, how did you learn how to do that? I'm like, I went to school for it, like I told you before. So he still is always like, how do you do that? I'm like, I told you I went to school for it. So that's Jeremy. But that's kind of how it all happened.
Just happened. When you were at Velisca House, did you speak with Johnny Hauser?
I didn't that time, actually. The first time I met Johnny, I think, was at Malvern Manor, maybe?
Okay.
It might have been HauntedCon, too. I'm not sure. He's a good guy, though. I like Johnny. He kind of cracks me up most of the time, so.
Oh, yeah, he gets over to Malvern quite a bit, too, so bouncing in between Velisca and Malvern all the time.
Yeah, so, well, him and Josh are pretty good friends, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, now, You said you were about 2 hours from Wymore. How did you end up tripping over the building there then? I mean, coming up with that location, was it, you know, I knew you said that you wanted to buy it, but how did you find out about it?
So one of my favorite things to do when I just need to get away from everybody is going abandoned house hunting. And Jeremy was freaking out. He's like, you go by yourself, you're going to die, something bad's going to happen. And I'm like, fine. So I was like, if I take someone with me, will you feel better? And he's like, yes. So I just put a blast out on Facebook. Hey, any guy want to go abandoned house hunting with me? And then Keith responded and he was like, yeah, I'll go. And I had met Keith a few times, so it wasn't like a total stranger. But he started sending me all these pictures of abandoned houses out in the middle of nowhere. So because I was just going to go by myself anyway, I didn't really care what anybody said. I took a trip out. One of them was just outside of Wymore, so I took a trip out to Wymore, couldn't find this house, and I messaged Keith, and I was like, hey, where's this house that you sent me a picture of? And he goes, wait, you're here? And I was like, what do you mean I'm here? Do you live here? And he's like, yeah, you're 2 blocks away. Come over. And so that day, Keith actually took me around all of Wymore and showed me everything. He was telling me about the town. And he was showing me all these abandoned places, and I was like, this place is just awesome. And so then I went back a couple more times just because I was so interested in it. And before you know it, I was like, I just be here. And so we had been talking to Travel Channel, and they were like, well, send us a reel of what it is you want to do there. If we like it, we'll pick it up. Well, in the midst of all that is when this building was offered to me. So we're still hoping eventually to get a reel done for Travel Channel, but we've been busy. It just hasn't happened.
I can understand that. So now, you've had had the building for a while now, and you said there's apartments. There's still people in the apartments now?
No, nobody lives up there. They're completely, like, yeah, the guy who owned it had just stuff stored up there. I want to say when, by the time he got most of his stuff out and what he left us still to clean out, just on the floor alone, probably 4 inches deep of dirt and old insulation and just God knows what stuff probably was on the floor. And that is not an exaggeration. Like, we were picking up handfuls of dirt and dust and throwing them out. It was so bad. Because it just sat there for stuff on the roof because he had stuff in there. But we still, I mean, there's still a couple leaks in there, but for the most part, the floor was in really good shape. And I think it has so much stuff on it. So thank God for the pack rat.
Yep. Now, what kind of personal experiences have you had there yourself?
I have a lot. I think I spend more time there than anybody. Well, Brian spends a lot of time there too, but he lives down the street. But we've just had, like, I think the most thing that I experienced is just the walking around upstairs and the stuff moving. It's like I said, when it decides I'm done sleeping, I'm done sleeping. We have a storefront which I decorate quite often. So I had a mannequin up there, and I had put them up there, and I was like, well, I'll just put some, I put bricks on the base of the mannequin, and I didn't even think I needed it. I was like, well, I'm just going to, extra precaution. Well, a couple days later, I woke up at probably about 8 in the morning to this loud noise, and I look out and hear the mannequin is face down on the floor and had completely come off the whole window. And so I was just kind of, and it kind of took me a minute to be, okay, so what happened? And it looked like something grabbed it by the leg and lifted it up, the way it landed. So now I put even more bricks down there. Some other things that have happened, there's a woman that you can hear singing every now and then. The bathroom door likes to open and close, the front door. Will open on its own, and I actually had somebody tell me, oh, what was a windy day? So I said, when I go back here, I'm going to show you why it's not a windy day that opened its door. The door is very, there's a trick to it, and it's very hard to open. But even when it does open, you'll hear, like, the click-click of the latch, and it'll try to open, and sometimes it'll do it again, and then it'll swing open. That happens quite a lot. I don't know. We have so much stuff. We have these little LED lights, like flashlights that we use for tours. And sometimes you go in and they're just all on. Yeah, and I remember Jeremy the first time he saw that. He was like, are you sure you shut this one off? The left one upstairs in one of the rooms. He said, are you sure you shut this off? I'm like, Jeremy, nobody's been up there for a week. Like, if I had left it on, the batteries would be dead. So, we know that it's got to be something else. We have cats. There's a lot of cats in Wymore. That's a long story. But we have cat traps in the very back room. And a lot of times they'll just be sitting there, and it sounds like somebody picks up the cat trap and just violently shakes it and throws it on the ground. You'll go back there, and it's just sitting there. So kind of weird, just weird. Sometimes just things you don't expect.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, that cat traps, you have you guys looked? You might have an alien, like Alf, might be in there trying to get rid of the cats. You know, so you got to watch out for Alf because he didn't like cats when he was he was on TV. So
now, let me tell people, you, Wymore could use Alf.
Yeah, people that have investigated there, have they had some of the same experiences or something similar to that?
Yeah, people will tell me that they wake up, you know, early in the morning to what sounds like furniture moving around upstairs. And again, my favorite thing, well, we didn't really have much activity. And then they send me this long list of, well, this happened and that happened. We have had a couple people say they've gotten scratched there. I've never experienced that, either of any of my partners. But who knows, maybe they're just not very nice. But they've heard that. A lot of people will come back with the reports of the singing. We have a rocking chair in there that somebody died in, and a lot of times people say that's rocking, which is why we actually have it. the guy who gave it to us, it was his wife, who died in a rocking chair, and he said that he didn't want to get rid of it because he thinks it's his wife, but he didn't want it in the house because it would always rock. And so now it's in the Stevenson building. And the door, the bathroom door is a big one. I think everyone who's come in there has said that they've seen the door open and close. One of the craziest things that happened there, it was myself and Keith, were just the two of us. And, again, the building next door has been vacant for I don't know how long. And they're up against each other. It's like the old-style Western town. And so if you go in that door next door, even if you got in there, it's stairs that go straight down into the basement. So you can't even be up against that wall at any point in time. But Keith and I were in there one night, and I caught it on film. I think it's on our page somewhere, but it sounded like somebody just outright punching the wall for probably a good 10 or 15 seconds. And it wasn't quiet. I mean, it was like, and it happened 3 times that night. It's never happened again.
I wonder if they were trying to, maybe it was back when they were doing things with the tunnels. Maybe they're busting through the wall for their tunnels or something that they were doing.
Yeah, I never thought of that. We just thought, we did a lot of renovations that day, and so Keith was like, whatever it is really pissed off. I'm like, probably.
Now, excuse me, do you guys have any specific rules as far as teams coming in, what they can and can't do?
Well, we don't allow Ouija boards in there. We don't want people coming in and staging and things like that. Anything that would deter anything from staying. We don't want anything to leave. We actually go to great lengths to bring things in. So we don't want anything to leave. We don't want any, like, witchcraft or, you know, things like that. Just anything that can just, we want what's there to be there, and we just don't want other people bringing in, because who knows what they're bringing in. Of course, we don't allow, like, candles because they start fires and we don't want the place to burn down. We allow people to film and we allow people to take photographs and things like that, but we just don't let them really sell anything without our permission. But that's, you know, we make exceptions and we make deals and things like that. So, but no, we're pretty calm as long as nobody's ruining anything or, you know, trying to be evil. We're okay. We do have an oddities collection in there that's quite unique. So that's kind of why I'm like, we don't really allow other people to bring stuff in, but we bring in a lot of stuff, I think. So.
Now, is there electricity and heat and air conditioning or water and things like that in there or not?
We have electricity on the main floor and on the 23rd. So here in a couple of days, we're putting in heat. So that should be up and running pretty soon. We have a small AC unit that runs during the summer as well. We just turn it on for when people are there. So we're doing what we can for the moment. We're hoping to eventually be able to heat the whole place. But of course, it takes time and money and things like that. So we're still renovating quite a bit. We still have a long way to go, but it's safe enough for people at the moment. So.
Sure. Now, do you guys have bathrooms there also or not?
Yeah, there is a bathroom there. We also allow people to sleep there. So usually in investigations, we let people in about 5 o'clock, and then by 9 o'clock the next morning, you know, they got to go. So we try to do the best we can. We have a microwave there so they can cook and things like that too. So.
Now, is there, any small stores in the town or hotels or stuff like that too or not?
There is a grocery store right across the street, and then just a block and a half down, there is the dog house, which they serve, like, dinner until, I think, like, 8 or 9. And then there's a couple of gas stations, so, like, Casey's is open 24 hours. So there's a couple things. There's a Subway there, but normally by the time people get there for investigations, they're not open. There is, at the corner of the street, there are people renovating another one of the buildings who want to put in a coffee shop. And then we also have a lady who just bought some land who's planning on putting in like a bed and breakfast type thing. So it's getting there. Beatrice is like 10 miles away too, and Beatrice pretty much has everything. So
you guys do daytime investigations?
We've at this point we have just been doing like daytime tours and flashlight tours. Actually, Jamie with Monicon, she also does Midwest paranormal history tours. She's coming out January 11th, and she's going to do an event there with us. But we tell people, you know, hey, like, because we still don't really have business hours yet. If they are interested in a day tour or a day in whatever, just call us and we'll figure it out. So we're more than willing to figure something out with anyone who wants to come and help. Basically, if you want to pay us, we'll help you out.
Now, if you could change anything at all for the way the building is right now, what would you change?
Right now, the two things that I think are most important is the couple of small leaks that are still in the roof, we want to fix those. And then the very back room downstairs, we have an issue with the floor. Those are the two main things. Like, if we could get those knocked out, it would be awesome. But I think we need to have somebody actually come in and fix that floor in the very back room. We have it blocked off, so it's not really a safety issue. But we'd like to open it up, you know, and allow people to have, you know, access to that area of the building.
Now, you mentioned earlier that the building's about 9,000 square feet. Is it one story, two stories, or how many floors can you investigate?
Well, you can investigate the whole thing. So we have the top floor, which was the apartment, and then you have the main floor, which that's been kind of chopped up a little bit. The front is what is the Oddities Museum at the moment. Then the middle section we call kind of like the safe room with the couch, and there's the refrigerator and things like that, the bathroom. And then we also have the basement, which a lot of people, I think a lot of people are most afraid of the basement.
Everybody is afraid of basements. Nobody likes basements.
I used to be, but I'm not anymore. I spent enough time in that one to not be anymore.
Now, as far as booking the location and all, how do you go about doing that?
You can either message us on the Stevenson Building page on Facebook. We also have the Buried Alive Paranormal Facebook. You can message Eve there. You can message any one of us personally on our personal pages, myself, Jeremy Curl, and Brian Polson. My phone number, actually, if you just Google the Stevenson Building in Wymore, it will come up, and my phone number is on there, so people are free to call, and, you know, if I can't answer, leave a message. I'll be back as soon as I get it. We've actually been really good with keeping up on everyone who wants to book, so eventually we'll have a web page up where you can just go on and check the calendar and book, but for now, this is just kind of how we're doing it, so...
Are you guys booked quite a bit throughout the year, or is it a lot of openings still available?
Yeah, we actually opened in April, and we've had quite a few bookings since April, which was kind of surprising because we haven't been open that long. I can't tell you all the details, but March 21st, there's going to be a huge event there. That event will actually be released right after Christmas. But until it is released, I can't really say anything. Just know it's coming. But I know that after that happens, we probably will start booking up pretty fast.
So that's great. Yeah, that sounds like that'd be a good deal then. Big shot in the arm for the location and all. What do you charge there to come in and investigate?
So Monday through Thursday, it is $250. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's $300 for the overnight. Typically, day tours are just $7 a person. And then, like, flashlight tours and things like that, just depending on who's doing it and how it's run, they typically run anywhere between $15 and $30. Some of the other events, like we do movie premieres there for, you know, our shows and things like that. So those sometimes run a little bit more, like 35. World's largest ghost hunt, I think we charge 30. Most of them we try to keep relatively, well, we're trying to keep all of it relatively inexpensive for people. But we also need to pay the bills and take care of it, so.
Now, do you have, like, public investigations where maybe they don't have a team, but there's one or two people that want to come out and investigate, and, like, maybe you have, like, spots where you rent it out for 10 spots and people come in and they just buy tickets to come in? Do you do something like that also or not?
Yeah, that's basically what the flashlight tours are. So they get, like, the tour for, like, an hour, and then they get about 2 hours where they can just investigate and go on their own. So we kind of try to do that. I guess I don't really call them public investigations, but that's basically what they are. And when we put out the events and things, we'll like say, you know, this is what it is and this is what you'll get out of it. We get a lot of good turnout for those, for sure.
Now, you've got the one event coming up in March. Anything else going on next year that you can talk about?
Well, I think we have a couple shows might be coming film, so we're hoping that happens. We've been given a couple spots here and there, so but television, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So it just depends on what's all happening. Of course, Stevenson Building will be out at HauntedCon, which is April 20th? Oh, she's going to kill me if I'm wrong. But we'll be there auctioning off. We're going to auction off or raffle off an overnight HauntedCon, so if anyone wants to come out and buy tickets for that, they're free to. But we're still kind of working on what we're going to be doing and things for the upcoming year. So we've really been moving it, but once I moved out there, it's going to be a game changer. So
now, when you move to Wymore, are you going to be staying there at the building, or you have a different house?
No, I'll have a different house.
Living,
I don't know if I
living there be too much, huh?
you know, it's not that I would mind it so much. It's just I can tell you, like, after third day of it deciding I'm not sleeping past 5 a.m., it gets really frustrating and I get cranky. There were times that I could call up either Keith or Bond and say, I'm sleeping at your house because I'm obviously not sleeping here. It doesn't really frighten me. It's just annoying. the best I can say about it.
So anything that you can think of that we may have missed that you wanted to tell us about Stevenson? We got a couple minutes left, and so just want to make sure that everybody heard everything about the location.
Well, I definitely think even if you are not into the paranormal, the oddities collection we have going there, we just got something from Danvers Asylum, which no longer exists. We have real human bones. We have a part of a brain. We have all kinds of weird medical equipment. I mean, we've just been accumulating this random stuff. There's some things that they buy it, and I just shake my head, and I'm like, I don't even know. And then they argue about who's going to carry it because neither want to touch it.
One thing I forgot to ask you about, how many people will fit conveniently in the location as far as investigating?
When we do the group, we never do more than 30 for the public. I always suggest, if you're going to do an overnight anywhere, I always suggest the smaller the better, you know. We do up to 6 people. If you have any more than 6 people, we do charge additional for each extra person, just because I think 6 is probably a good number for the Stevenson Building, and it's just a better thing if you just keep it at 6 or under.
Okay. So. Well, if you want to check out the Stevenson Building, check them out on Facebook. They've got they'll have a website up soon. And Chrissy, I really appreciate you coming on tonight and joining us. And hopefully people will catch it in live, or they'll go to the archives and listen to everything about Stevenson Building and join you guys out there for some fun.
Thank you so much for this.
No problem. We appreciate it. So have a great Christmas, and heck, who knows? I get out in the Kansas City area. I'm going to have to maybe drive a couple extra hours and head up to Wymore.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
All right. Have a great
I'll
evening.
Let you go. Have a good night. You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, Christy. Okay, that was Christy Williams with the Stevenson Building. And check it out. You know, go to the Facebook page and find out what's going on. I appreciate everybody joining us tonight. We're going to get shut off here in just a few seconds. And have a great evening. Better yet, have a very Merry Christmas. And we will talk to you next year.